views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from, partly sunny, partly cloudy Seattle. It's not raining and it's October. We're grateful. You may be listening here in the Seattle area on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or Vermont. Sorry, Vermont. I don't know where Vermont came from. New York. On WBLQ AM 1230. That's the first time I've done that. That's interesting. You might be listening on one of the 35 stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, either live or through the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com or iTunes or Transformation Talk Radio, you're going to be really glad you tuned into this show. We have a show that has a different perspective on things, and it feels really significant to my own personal growth, that of my clients, as well as anybody who's on his or her path. But before we get into that, I'd like to say hello to somebody different at the helm today. It's not Benny, it's Eric.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, Christine.
Happy Friday to you. And Friday is always a happy day for me because I love doing the show and I love sharing, you know, helping to share the wisdom of our wonderful guests with all the listeners around the world. Even Vermont.
Everywhere.
Yes.
What could be better to kick off the weekend with?
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And my guest today is Mark Wolin, and I'm just really fascinated by his work. His book is entitled, It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. And it's interesting because he's a leading expert on inherited family trauma. He's a director of the Family Constellation Institute in San Francisco, where he trains clinicians, so people who are helping others, you know, through therapy and the like. He treats people who are struggling with depression, anxiety, panic disorder, obsessive thoughts, self-injury, chronic pain, and persistent symptoms and conditions. He's a sought-after lecturer. He leads workshops at hospitals, clinics, conferences, teaching centers around the world, including places like Kripalu, the Omega Institute. He's taught at the University of Pittsburgh, the Western Psychiatric Institute, California Institute of Integral Studies. His articles have appeared all over the place, including Psychology Today, and his poetry has been published in The New Yorker, and his work is just amazing. I'm so excited to welcome Mark Wolin. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hi, Christine. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I am so fascinated by this topic. I'm somebody who has been on my psycho-spiritual path for many decades, been in therapy three different times, and one time is, you know, the last time around, it's been like 5 years. I mean, I've been doing some deep work. And when I began to watch your wonderful videos online and read this amazing book, something resonated deep within me, like this is like the missing piece for me, and I suspect it's the missing piece for many. But before we get into the substance of this particular approach, can you just share with our listeners how you sort of ended up here doing this type of work?
Quite accidentally. About 26 years ago, I began to lose the vision in one of my eyes. I was diagnosed with a chronic form of retinopathy, and there was no cure. Nothing Western medicine could do.
Oh,
and because of the way it was progressing, I was told I was going to lose the vision in my other eye as well. And I was pretty panicked and desperate. Everything I tried to make it better, juice fasts, hands-on healing, supplements, all seemed to make it worse.
Oh, wow.
And I literally didn't know where to turn and just went on a search. I left my work. I left my city, left everything behind to go on a search for healing. I didn't know what that healing would look like, but it led me halfway around the globe, as far as Indonesia, where I learned from several wise teachers who taught me some fundamental principles, one of which was the importance of healing my relationship with my parents, mm-hmm. which was broken. But before I could do that, I had to heal what stood in the way, which was inherited family trauma. I didn't know it at the time, but specifically the anxiety that I had inherited from all my grandparents, who were all orphaned in some way. Each of them, well, three of them lost their moms when they were babies.
Wow.
And the fourth, she lost her dad when she was one, so ultimately she loses her mother's attention, too, because her mom's grieving.
Uh-huh.
And this anxiety, this terror of abandonment that lived in my body, this was a real cause of my vision loss. And like my parents before me, I had inherited this feeling of being broken from a mother's love. We all had. Mm-hmm. This was what was passed down in my family. In fact, I remember as a small boy, maybe 5 or 6 years old, feeling so panicked when my mom would leave the house. I'd run into her room. I'd pull open her drawers. I'd cry into her scarves and nightgowns, oh. thinking that I'd never see her again, that her smell would be the only thing that I would have left, which would have been true for my grandparents,
uh-huh.
who were orphaned.
Right.
That was the only thing they had left. The smell of their mom. And then 40 years later, I remember sharing this with my mom. I told her, you know, I cried in your clothes. She looked at me and said, I did the exact same thing when my mother left the house.
Interesting.
And what was funny is my sister, just reading the book a couple months ago, called me and said, honey, you did that too? I cried into mom's clothes when she would leave. We all did the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
My mom did it. My sister did it. Perhaps my father even, too, being broken from his parents. And then after working through doing the work and uh-huh. healing my relationship with my parents and the other things I learned, my sight ended up coming back. And afterwards, I felt compelled to share these principles, and ultimately I developed a method for healing the effects of inherited family trauma.
Yeah. So can you just, that's a very specific example of inherited family trauma, but can you just sort of more broadly define it?
Sure. Inherited family trauma is what's been passed down. See, we all live with mysteries we can't explain.
Oh, yeah.
These fears we can't explain, anxieties that strike suddenly, depression we never get to the bottom of. We have the symptoms, but they may not be ours. They may not have originated with us. Like the title of my book, It Didn't Start With You, these symptoms could be the residues of trauma in our family history, and we have biologically inherited these residues of trauma and from our grandparents and our parents. So what I do in the book is I teach people how to become detectives of this trauma language that we all carry, which leads us to the traumatic events, so we can make the links, and then we can break the cycle.
So you talk about it being biologically inherited, which to me means there's some science behind this. Can you share with our listeners if there really is some science?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When a trauma happens, it changes us. Literally, it causes a chemical change in our DNA, and this changes the way our genes function, sometimes for generations. Technically, after a trauma, this chemical experience will create a chemical tag or a chemical signal, they call it an epigenetic tag,
uh-huh.
and this will attach to our DNA, and it will tell the cell to either use a specific gene or to ignore a specific gene. And then the way our genes are affected can change how we act or how we feel. For example, we can become reactive to situations that are similar to the original trauma so that we can deal with it better.
Yeah, right.
For example, if our grandparents are from a war-torn country where there's bombs going off and bullets flying, they might learn a specific skill set which they could pass forward to us, sharper reflexes, let's say, or quicker reaction times to help us survive the very trauma that they experience. The problem is we can inherit a stress response with the dials turned up to 10, so we're prepared to deal with a catastrophe that never comes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this continuous stress can be harmful to our bodies, like it was my eye. And these gene changes, which are the culprit, as we're now learning, these can be transmitted to our children and then even to their children.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists, they've long suspected something like this was going on. But it wasn't until about 10 years ago that this neuroscientist out of Mount Sinai Medical in New York named Rachel Yehuda discovered that the children of Holocaust survivors and their parents shared the same trauma symptoms, specifically low levels of cortisol. Now, cortisol, that's the stress hormone mm-hmm. that gets us back to normal after a stressful event.
Right.
So she finds also a similar pattern in the children born to mothers who were pregnant at or near the World Trade Center when it was attacked during 9/11. She finds mm-hmm. these children also inherit these low levels of cortisol, which predisposes them to PTSD
uh-huh.
and anxiety and depression. And just last year, she discovers that survivors, traumatized survivors, and their children, this is what's amazing to me, they share the exact same gene changes
wow.
in the exact same region of the same gene,
uh-huh.
which is the FKBP5 gene, which is involved in PTSD,
uh-huh.
which really suggests that these traumas are heritable. She goes on to say that you and I, Christine, you and I, and our listeners, are three times more likely to have symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder if one of our parents had PTSD.
Oh, wow.
And then as a result, we're likely to struggle with depression or anxiety or some other symptom.
Mm-hmm. This is amazing stuff. You know, when we come back, Mark, I'm going to be asking you about what the different types of inherited family trauma are and how do we spot it and how do we work to heal it. More with Mark Wallin in just a few moments.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Mark Wolin, and he's the author of It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. Now, Mark, there are different types of themes that can appear with family trauma. What are they?
When I work with people, Christine, I'm looking at one of these four unconscious themes. And what I mean by that are four ways that affect us unconsciously that we can be limited in terms of our life force. For example, we can be limited in our relationships or hampered in our success or our vitality, our physical health. Now, these four themes that I call, the effects of these themes are unconscious on us, and they're relational. Uh-huh. For example, the first one is we've merged with the life experience or the situation or the trauma or the behavior of a parent. So, for example, if our mom lost or gave away a child, we could unconsciously abort our first child. If our mom and dad's relationship failed when they're 30, unconsciously, without realizing that we're doing the same, we can begin to pull away from our relationship, from our partner at 30, uh-huh. thinking that our partner no longer does it for us, without realizing that there's this unconscious loyalty, this unconscious pull to do it similarly. If our dad fails, we can fail. Mm-hmm. If our parents struggle in some way, we can struggle similarly. Right. That's the first theme. We've merged unconsciously with the life experience of a parent. Mm-hmm. The second theme is we've rejected a parent, and many of us do because we didn't get enough of this or that. But what I've seen, the effects of this rejection, we then end up rejecting that behavior in ourselves. We can't uh-huh. see when we're the same. That behavior becomes disowned in us, right. and then it expresses in us unconsciously. For example, if our mom is cold, we can't see when we're cold.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll project it onto a partner.
Right.
We're likely to have a hypervigilance feeling, waiting for the next shoe to drop with our partner. Because if our mom was the first one to take care of us, mm-hmm. and now we're in the world, we have that fantasy that when we meet a partner, finally I found someone who's going to take perfect care of me and understand
yes.
me and hear me and see me. But it's a fantasy because then we're waiting for our partner to be cold, not see us,
oh,
not
right.
hear us.
Right.
So in our hypervigilance, we get exactly what we expect we're going to get because uh-huh. our partner's looking at us with, well, why are you shut down?
Right.
Why are your eyes closed? I mean, not closed, why are your eyes gated? Or we can turn a nice partner cold with with our hypervigilance, or we choose somebody cold so we can continue to heal this trauma.
Yes.
We keep playing out what happened earlier because the trauma is seeking its healing. I believe that the very trauma we were born to heal is also contains the seed of our expansion. So these traumas are looking for it, their expansion, these contractions. So we choose somebody cold.
Or, of course.
The worst one, Christine, is who are we cold toward inside us?
Oh, yeah.
Ourselves. We become cold, or we don't hear. If we were ignored, we ignore that fragmented child part of ourselves. Or we, if our parents were critical, we're self-critical.
Yes.
Or if our parents are aggressive, we're inwardly aggressive. So that's the second theme. When we've rejected a parent, the effects of this rejection happen inside us and outside us. Thirdly, we have the third theme, unconscious theme, is we have a break in the bond with our mom. And these breaks often are so early, we don't think about them. We don't know why we shut down when we get close to a partner, or why we're terrified of abandonment, or why we're afraid, you know, I hate you, don't leave me, or come close, don't get away.
Right.
You know,
right.
These patterns. But often when we have a break early from our mom, when our mom looks at us, that richness of her attunement, her attention, is where we begin to develop a self. But when there's been a break in that looking, a break in her attunement, we can't trust the feeling of who we are. And then we often are held together with tightness and numbness and anxiety. And then when we go to have a partner, we freak out, all that stuff. So these breaks in the bond with our mother, we have to research and say, hey, mom, did something happen when I was in utero, when I was one, when, you know, because our hippocampus, which allows us to form these memories, the development of our hippocampus and the connections to its prefrontal, to our prefrontal cortex, they don't develop until we're two or three. So we don't have very many memories prior to that. So that's the third theme. Do we have a break with our mom? And then the fourth theme, which is, I think, the most intriguing and interesting of these unconscious themes, Christine, is are we identified with someone other than our parents? For example, are we identified with the life experience of a grandmother or a grandfather or a stillborn brother who died and now we're living lifeless, like we don't fit in, like we don't belong, because that stillborn can't be looked at because it caused our mom and dad so much pain? I once worked with this woman who said she was going to take her life and she was planning to kill herself. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? And she said the strangest thing, Christine. She said, I'm going to vaporize myself. And I said, you're going to what?
Really?
And she said, I'm going to vaporize myself. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? Now, I'm listening because you'll find out later when we talk, I'm very involved in trauma language. So I'm listening to this word vaporize, wondering, where does that come from? And I said, so how are you going to vaporize yourself? And she said, well, my brother, he works at a steel mill. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I speak Pittsburghese. We don't say our O's and our consonants very well. But anyway, she said, well, my brother works in the steel mill, and I'm going to go inside, and I'm going to leap into one of those vats of molten steel, and my body's going to, listen to these words, incinerate in seconds before it reaches the bottom.
Wow.
So when I'm hearing these words, vaporize, incinerate, I get the image of the Holocaust. But I'm looking at her blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm thinking, well, maybe from the other side. So I said, you know, tell me, was anybody in your family ever involved in the Holocaust on either side, either victim or perpetrator? And she said, no. And then she said, oh, wait a minute. My grandmother was Jewish before she came from the old country. And I said, when did she come from the old country? Well, she came in 1946 when she met my grandfather, who was Catholic, and she married him and she turned Catholic. And I said, wait, well, go back. What happened in 1945 and before? She said, oh, she lost her whole family in the ovens in Auschwitz.
Oh, my gosh.
So she doesn't make the link, but she says it right there.
Right.
I said, what do you mean she lost her whole family? And she said, oh, my grandmother's sister, her brother, her mother, her father all perished in the oven, the gas chambers, the ovens.
Right.
And in that moment, she makes the link. So that's an identification. Mm-hmm. We are carrying the life experience from our grandparents, our uncles, our aunts, our sisters, our brothers, but we don't make the link.
Uh-huh.
So those are these four themes I work with, and it's about diagnosing or identifying which of the four themes we're affected with.
Right.
And often we're affected with three of them.
Uh-huh.
So we have a break in the bond with our mom, so we reject our mom, and now we repeat her life experience.
Right, right. Oh, this is...
Doesn't it work that way?
Yeah, this is really fascinating. What I find so interesting about this is even if you don't have this conscious understanding or memory of it, it can still affect you. And this is just this is such juicy stuff. We're going to go to another quick break, but when we return, more with Mark Willen and learning about how we can actually explore this within ourselves and look for those shared traumas, inherited traumas.
Have you ever wanted to learn about the colors of your chakras? Well, now's your chance. Lynn Brown, host of Get Into It, is hosting an event Friday, November 4th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Mount Vernon. Every person will get a reading on the most prominent color in their aura. Join Lynn Brown November 4th at the Riverwalk Studio in Mount Vernon. To register for this event, call 360-588-4713. That's 360-588-4713.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Mark Willen. He's the author of It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. Now, Mark, I'm finding this so incredibly fascinating and so very relevant to my own life and to that of clients. And you know, I think that people in general right now are seeking a deeper kind of clearing, not only for ourselves, but perhaps even for our family members, our ancestors. And this is just, it's like so spot on for that. So you've talked about the various types of unconscious themes. What are the signs that we have some sort of inherited family trauma?
You know, I've discovered that there are definitely some telltale signs, Christine. We might experience a fear or an anxiety or a symptom that strikes suddenly or unexpectedly when we reach a certain age. I mentioned that earlier, 30 is when our parents split apart. But it's not just an age. It's also when we hit a certain milestone or have an event in our life, and it's as though there's this ancestral alarm clock inside us that starts ringing. For example, we get married, or we go to have a child, or we get rejected by a partner, or we even move to a new place, and all of a sudden, we had no symptoms prior, but then we have these sudden onset symptoms. I once worked with this woman who was consumed with anxiety, and she had no anxiety until she became pregnant. And I asked her, what is it about being pregnant? What are you thinking? Because I'm interested in people's language, their obsessive thoughts, the language that doesn't quit inside. And she said, I'll harm my baby. And I said to her,
interesting.
Have you ever harmed a baby? No, of course not. I've never harmed a baby. Did anyone in your family ever harm a baby? And she said, no, not that I can think. And she went, oh my God, wait. She said, when my grandmother was a young woman, she lit a candle. That candle caught the curtains on fire, caught the house on fire. Her baby was newborn, was upstairs sleeping. She couldn't get the baby out of the house. The baby died. And then the woman said, my client said, but we were never allowed to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And in that minute, she learned where this anxiety had come from. She was actually carrying her grandmother's terror of what had happened, living in her as a fear.
Wow. So, Mark, is the awareness of it enough to heal it?
No, not really. The awareness of it is 40% of it. Some people can run with the awareness. So I shouldn't say not really, because a lot of people just need to make that connection.
Right.
And then they run with it, and they have an internal life strong enough where once they make that connection, they're able to engage their prefrontal cortex and really run with the healing. But in my experience, people need to have a healing experience. They need to have some experience powerful enough that can override the old trauma response that lives inside so many of us.
Right.
So, for example, this can be a new experience of receiving comfort or support where there wasn't any, because we built a relationship back with a parent.
Right. Or this so sort of parenting yourself in a new way.
Yeah. Not only parenting, receiving comfort from our parent because we've built that relationship back, but we can also parent ourselves, absolutely. So we can have this experience of comfort or support from the adult us to the fragmented part of us. Or this can be an experience of feeling compassion for that little guy or that little girl inside us. Or feeling compassion for our parent because we see behind our parent's meanness was actually a broken bond with their mother. Or behind our dad's drinking was his dad left when he was two and he lost his mom emotionally too. Or we can have a experience of gratitude or loving kindness, or we have a generosity practice. Ultimately, anything, Christine, that allows us to feel strength or peace inside, something that engages our sense of curiosity, our sense of wonder, something that we perceive as positive or rewarding or meaningful. Now, we have this experience, and then we need to practice the new feelings and the new sensations of this compassion.
And why is that? Why is that important? Why is that important to sort of continually re-experience?
Beautiful question. Because every time we practice the new feelings or the new sensations, we're engaging the prefrontal cortex. We're stealing traction away from the highly efficient trauma cycle that keeps us in that state of suffering, and we're engaging the other areas of our brain, specifically the prefrontal cortex, where we can integrate this new experience, and then our brains can be plastic, or as they say, neuroplastic. What I like to say, our brains can change. So in the book, I teach us how to do this in a new way, where the where we lay down new neural pathways in our brain, and we can heal. When we revisit these feelings and sensations, so let's say we're going to engage in a practice of compassion for ourselves. So the adult part of us is going to put a hand on that part in our body where we fragment, and we're going to breathe into that part and tell that part, hey, I've got you, I'm here. When we do that, we are not only are we engaging the prefrontal cortex, but this allows structures in our brain to begin to wire together. So the old Hebb's law of neuroplastic change, when structures fire together, when axons fire together, they wire together. What that means is the dendrites of one structural experience in our brain starts to form with another structure in our brain. So it's almost as though a healing resourced part of the brain hooks up with a the frightened part of our brain, let's say, and then these structures become aligned. Not only that, but we can release feel-good neurotransmitters in our brain when we do these practices, like serotonin and dopamine, or even feel-good hormones like oxytocin. And even how our genes express, this is what I'm interested in. This can be affected. The very genes involved in our body's stress response can begin to function in an improved way. And so I always tell people, practice these sensations and these new feelings of this new experience, install them in your body. This is how we create neuroplasticity. This is how we deepen the experience. So even questions that we ask ourselves, like in that practice, like what new thing am I noticing right now in my body when I breathe into that part? What's the sensation inside? I mean, if I just stay with it, what begins without getting overwhelmed by it, what eventually happens? These practices, they can change us.
So, Mark, you keep referring to connecting to the body. Why is that important, and how do you get information from that?
Well, the body, we can't separate anymore. Body, mind is connected. Body, mind, spirit, all connected. It's very important to heal our body because the trauma responses don't have a brain, right? They're, the amygdala is that early part of our brain that's developed in utero before the hippocampus, and our amygdala is firing these signals like not safe, not safe, not safe, and these are living in our body. So we've got to go to the body because the body is where the trauma responses are, we're feeling them. We have a tight chest. We have a clogged up throat. We have a numb heart. And these places are where we need to go with our breath, with our sensation, and with our awareness. So we can integrate body-brain.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Now, you talk a lot about core language, looking for core language. What is that?
Yeah, so when Well, when we have a trauma, the speech centers of our brain are compromised, and this valuable information bypasses the frontal lobes where it can be integrated. And where does it go? Well, here's where I think it goes. What I see is when a trauma happens, clues are left behind in the form of emotionally charged words and sentences, clues that form a breadcrumb trail that when we learn how to follow these clues, this language, this trauma language that we carry unconsciously.
Yeah. So can you give us an example?
Us back to these traumatic events in our family, traumas that we've maybe have biologically inherited from our parents and our grandparents. Uh-huh. And when we know how to uncover these unconscious words, what I call core language in my book, it's like finding the missing piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But lets the whole picture come into view and gives us a context that helps us explain why we feel the way we feel.
Uh-huh. You've got some fascinating examples. Can you share one or two about how that would show up with somebody's language and the wording of things?
Sure. I can talk about the very first case that taught me to look in this particular direction. Do we have time before the break?
Actually, hold that thought. We'll go in a little early, but you don't want to miss this when we return. Some examples of how the inherited family trauma showed up in a person's language and clues for how you can access it as well. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, ELAINE.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Kristen Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I just want to mention the title of this book again because it's a very powerful book. This is powerful work. It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle, Mark Wallin. It's published by Viking. It's fabulous. If you are on your psycho-spiritual journey and you want to dig deeper, you want to create greater ease and healing in your life, I encourage you to get this book. And Mark, before we continue with the information about the core language, can you share with our listeners how they can connect with you and chat about a couple of different upcoming events?
Sure. I have a Facebook page, Facebook Mark Wallin. I also have a website, markwallin.com. That's markwollyn.com. I have events everywhere. I have a training coming up in San Francisco next weekend. I go to Victoria.
Vancouver Island, yes. Yep.
Vancouver, actually. Then okay. I go to Victoria later. Uh-huh. I go to New York. I go to Miami in December. I go to Australia for a training. All sorts of places, yeah. Everywhere, really.
And we have listeners in all of those places. So.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm going to see if I can get to one of your events up in Canada as well, because I think this is just transformational work. Now, you know, you talked about how the core language, the verbiage will show up in a very specific way to offer clues. And you were about to share a story about, you know, how that was evident with one person.
You know, I'll tell about my very first case that led me in this direction. I was working with this cutter, and what was unusual about the way that she cut is she would cut so deeply that she would have to be hospitalized. The cuts would be so deep they'd get infected, or what was stranger is that she would almost bleed to death.
Oh my
gosh. That was very strange for the way other cutters that I had worked with cut, where they would make cuts but wouldn't bleed to death.
Uh-huh.
And so that was detail one. Why is she cutting so deeply? And then I asked her, let's call her Sarah for the sake of this talk.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, what are you thinking about right before you cut, when you hold that razor and you're about to bring it to your body? And she said, I deserve to die?
Oh.
And you could hear it wasn't her language, but I didn't know, so I asked her, Sarah, what have you done? Did you do something that you feel you deserve to die? Did you harm somebody, accidentally take a life? She said, nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked in her childhood, everything was lovely.
Uh-huh.
She had a really nice relationship with her mom. She had a brilliant, secure attachment with her mom.
Uh-huh.
She had a great relationship with her dad. She was able to receive her mom and dad's love. And I was flummoxed.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? I mean,
right.
She has a great childhood. And then I just asked, well, tell me about some of your other family members. Tell me about your grandparents. And
uh-huh.
then she dropped the bomb. She said, my grandmom was an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
And she was driving drunk. And she crashed the car with my grandfather in the passenger seat.
Okay.
And he flew out the broken windshield and got cut on the glass and bled out before the ambulance could get there.
Oh.
And in that moment, we made two startling discoveries. When she bled out, it was connected to the trauma of her grandfather when she would almost bleed to death.
Uh-huh.
And when she felt she deserved to die, it wasn't her feeling at all.
Right.
It was her grandma's feeling. because she had taken the life of another, particularly the man she loved.
Mm, yeah.
And then after I worked with Sarah, which is, I'm going to call, that's not her real name, we were able, by working through this event, actually I had her bring her father, because these were his parents, and I worked with him while she sat on the side watching,
right,
to get him back in to his heart around the death of his parents, you know, his mother who he blamed, and his father. He was just 12 years old.
Wow.
So he blamed his mother and couldn't love his mother and couldn't think about his father because it hurt too much. So when we got back him back to those feelings, he could say to Sarah, you know what, I'll take care of this. This is mine, not yours. I've got this, and I've got my parents behind me. And it was beautiful. It was as though she let it go and stopped cutting right there.
And also the beautiful part about this is she, what she was doing that was so incredibly dysfunctional and dangerous actually led to his healing.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So how, once we've identified this sort of thing, you know, how do we go about healing it?
How do we go healing it?
Yeah, how do we go about healing it?
We have to make these links. So we have to find our trauma language. So first we know what we're healing. For example, we have to hear, and that's what I teach people to do in the book, how to be a detective.
Right.
And how to uncover the clues in your own language and in your own symptoms and in your own behaviors. And then how that's, I've designed the book, it's like having a session with me. The first part of the book talks about the science and the why, and the second part of the book teaches us how I ask these questions to the reader so they can pull out this unconscious language, and then I teach them how to link it to these traumatic events in the family. And then once we link it, we have to engage in one of these healing practices that I talked about earlier, where we can, where we practice the healing feelings, the new feelings, the new sensations of the new experience, and link it to these traumas so we can heal. You know, I always have tips for insights that I like to share with people when they hear me talk. First of all, you know, I tell people if we're struggling in some way, it's very important to shake the family tree and to see what falls out. What family secrets have been hidden in your family?
Right.
What stories don't get told or didn't get told? What traumas never healed all the way? It's really important to know these things and ask questions, especially if we're unconsciously reliving aspects of a trauma that doesn't belong to us. I find that if we ignore the past, it can come back to haunt us. But if we explore it, we don't have to repeat it. We can break these destructive patterns. Secondly, I always tell people, hey, talk about the traumas in your family history. Tell your kids. Try to work through them, especially if your children are connected to something that they don't know that they're connected about with.
Right.
It's less likely to be passed down if you talk about it. Our children are innocent. They don't realize that they're carrying aspects of our traumas. Like we're that child. We don't realize we're carrying aspects of our grandmother's and our grandparents' traumas. And we can do this even if we don't have any information. And we don't know that, for instance, if we're adopted or our parents aren't talking or our parents are choose to remain silent, we can look at our trauma language. It's in our language. The quality of this language, along with the quality of our symptoms, our idiosyncratic symptoms, the ones that start suddenly or the ones that are persistent or chronic that we can't explain, or if we just even look at our repeated traumas, that occur over our life. This gives us a window. It's much more than a glimpse of what might have happened in our families, even if our parents aren't talking or we don't have parents to ask. These traumas.
Mark, sorry. This is great stuff, and we have run out of time. I want to mention your website one more time, Mark Wollin, MarkWollynn. And Mark, thank you so much for doing this work and for joining us here today.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a joy to talk to you.
And I thank you for joining us here today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.